Please open your Pew Bible to page 1201 to read these words from Mark 6, 45 through 56. Right away, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and start back across to Bethsaida. But he stayed until he had sent the crowds away. Then he told them goodbye and went up on the side of a mountain to pray. Later that evening, he was still there by himself, and the boat was somewhere in the middle of the lake. He could see that the disciples were struggling hard because they were rowing against the wind. Not long before morning, Jesus came towards them. He was walking on the water and was about to pass the boat. When the disciples saw Jesus walking on the water, they thought he was a ghost and they started screaming. All of them saw him and were terrified. But at the same time, he said, "Don't worry, I am Jesus. Don't be afraid." He then got into the boat with them, and the wind died down. The disciples were completely confused. Their minds were closed, and they could not understand the true meaning of the loaves of bread. Jesus and his disciples crossed the lake and brought the boat to shore near the town of Gennesareth. As soon as they got out of the boat, the people recognized Jesus. So they ran all over that part of the country to bring their sick people to him on mats. They brought them each time they heard where he was. In every village or farm or marketplace where Jesus went, the people brought their sick to him. They begged him to let them just touch his clothes, and everyone who did was healed.
A year ago, I had this grand plan that I was going to keep my daycare open, and then as I transitioned and start picking up my Army retirement pay, I was going to slow down the daycare and slowly change over to mostly full-time with just small kids or few kids and rely on my Army retirement pay to take care of me. Well, as we all know, we may have our plans, but God's got his own plan. So at that point, about a year ago, I was losing kids out of my daycare, and I wasn't sure what was going on. So I was thinking, well, gosh, does this mean it's time to go back to the working world? So I thought about it, prayed about it, and as my daycare kids were leaving, going to preschool or school, I was no longer needed. So I started praying about it. Okay, God, what is your plan here? And so I prayed about it. I advertised to continue with my daycare, bringing daycare kids. And at the same time, as we all know, we don't just sit on the laurels and hope for God to drop things in our lap. So I prayed about it, whether it's daycare or work. So I worked on resumes and sending out my resume and cover letter, applying for jobs. As the days went by, I applied for jobs. I got a few job interviews. Applied for jobs, advertised for daycare, and just waited for what God had planned for me. So one day I was on the internet and I found this job that I'm like, oh my gosh. I would go to Fort Abraham Lincoln State Park as a teenager with my family, and we'd park up, we'd camp out there the entire time. I loved it. This job was an admin position at Fort Abraham Lincoln State Park. I applied. It was about the same time that we were going through the 40-day challenge book, Draw the Circle. I was participating in it, and I was really enjoying it and using it as part of my prayer. I drew the circle, and I went up to the park office building, and for an hour, I circled the block. I circled the building. For an hour, I walked around the building where my interview was, and I prayed. The next day I went back on Monday evening, and my husband joined me, and we drew the circle around the building and walked for another half hour and prayed. The next day it was the interview. The next day I got a call, or the day after the interview I got a call, and I was offered the position. I am now working as the administrative assistant for Fort Abraham Lincoln State Park, a place that is all of God's glory and beauty, and I am certain the Lord and God turned me towards that job to fulfill whatever His plan is for me. I 100% believe in prayer, and I 100% believe God has His plan. No matter what your plan is in life, His plan is one that makes a difference. I believe with my whole heart, 300%, the faith that you have in God to guide you is what's going to get you to where you need. If you lean on Him, He will help you through all your trials and tribulations.
And let us pray. Holy and powerful God, God who is moving and active and alive, we give you thanks for these holy testimonies, for your movement in and through our lives. So here and now, as we worship you, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations on each of our hearts, may they be acceptable in your sight. Because you alone are our rock. You alone are our Redeemer. Amen. About 5 or 6 years ago, Marin, our daughter, Marin and I, we took scuba diving lessons. And when you're learning to scuba dive, breathing is a big deal. You're very conscious, especially as you're breathing in, but also as you breathe out. Breathing in and breathing out, you have to be able to breathe in and breathe out to stay alive. And that's the same with our faith, isn't it? Breathing in and breathing out. But what does it mean to breathe in our faith? You know, we breathe in the Spirit of God. We connect to God as we pray, as we read Scripture, as we worship, as we study, and we meet together for encouragement and accountability. We breathe in as we celebrate communion, and as we offer grace. Breathing in is important so we're better able to breathe out and make a difference in the world. We breathe out so we can live our faith in a way that helps others connect to God in a way that brings hope and healing to the world. We're reading from the Gospel of Mark this morning, and hear a little bit about the way that Jesus lived this rhythm of breathing as it unfolds across the Gospel of Mark. At the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is breathing in. He's solidifying his connections with God. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus went to be baptized. The Spirit of God poured out upon him. And then, immediately after being baptized, Jesus spent 40 days in the desert. 40 days alone, 40 days praying and meditating on Scripture, 40 days fasting, 40 days breathing in, plugging in to the power of God, 40 days preparing so he was better able to breathe out. Still in Mark chapter 1, if we just continue on, Mark 1:35 says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus went to a lonely place to pray." Jesus breathing in so he could breathe out. Jesus breathing in so he could minister as he moved throughout Galilee. And reading on, going further, still in Mark chapter 1, Jesus took a time away from the crowds. He prayed in lonely places. Bill Gaultier writes that it took a while for it to sink in for the disciples. But when it did, they cried out, "Lord, teach us to pray." And to this day, we still pray these words that Jesus taught. We've already prayed them this morning, haven't we? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. At this point, Jesus is teaching and healing. He's challenging people who are misusing religion. He's challenging people who are using religion to put other people down. And over the next couple chapters, Jesus and his disciples, they had been busy in ministry. So we jump ahead to Mark chapter 6, where Jesus needed to create some space to catch his breath. It had been an exhausting movement of events. Jesus' cousin and friend, John the Baptist, he'd been recklessly murdered. The disciples, they were returning from their ministry of breathing out. They were overflowing with excitement. They were bombarding Jesus with their stories. And Jesus, filled with compassion, he breathed out as he fed the thousands. Fortunately, prior to all this, Jesus had prepared. His soul was sufficiently filled. Otherwise, it could have crushed him. But he also knew he couldn't just keep going and going. He needed to breathe in. Jesus said to the apostles, you know, it's actually the title of the hymn that we just sang. Jesus said, "Come with me. Let's come and find the quiet center. Come with me to find a quiet place. Let's get some rest." So they made some time. They took some time to breathe in. So they were ready to breathe out. Today's scripture, it begins with Jesus seeking to create some space again. Jesus sent the disciples away in a boat. He stayed behind to dismiss the crowds to give the disciples some space. And then, when everyone was gone, Jesus went away by himself. He went to the mountain to walk and pray. As Jesus was catching his breath, in the distance on the Sea of Galilee, his friends found themselves in trouble. Their boat was floundering in a storm. Jesus quickly shifted gears. He went from breathing in to breathing out, from praying on the mountain all alone to walking on the water, going to his friends. Jesus showing up to calm the storm. There's a holy rhythm here, isn't there? Breathing in and breathing out. So let's fast forward to, well, nearing the end of the Gospel of Mark, nearing the end of Jesus' ministry, Mark chapter 14. Jesus and his disciples went to the upper room for what we call the Last Supper. They breathed in through worship and celebration. They breathed out, caring for one another and preparing for the crowds. But this was so much more than just a meal. This was the time of renewal and preparation. This was a time for breathing in so they could once again breathe out. And then Mark 14 continues, Jesus took Peter, James, and John to the Garden of Gethsemane. Breathing in, Jesus watched and prayed all night. In doing so, he was strengthened to breathe out one last time. Jesus praying, talking to God. God, I don't want to go to the cross. But not my will. May your will be done. Chapter by chapter, we're confronted with what it looks like for Jesus to breathe in and breathe out. And in the process, chapter by chapter, we're forced to examine our own lives. There are times we might cry out, you know, I'm just too busy, man. I just don't have time to sit and pray. I'm too busy. I don't have time to read my Bible and to meet with Christian friends for encouragement and accountability. I don't have time to serve others. I'm too busy. Patrick Morley writes about this young businessman who said he didn't have time for this breathing in stuff. He didn't have time to pray and spend time in the Bible. Even getting to worship was a stretch. He was just too busy. He had young kids. He was building a career. He was too active and busy in the church. And then we consider Jesus' response. Luke chapter 14 begins to touch on it. I wonder if anyone else remembers singing about Luke 14 at Bible school or as a kid. So there was a guy, he was preparing a great, delicious feast. He sends out special invitations to everyone, and when the banquet is ready, he lets everyone know, you know, come, the banquet is ready. But instead of coming, he just gets a plethora of excuses. I cannot come to the banquet. Don't trouble me now. I have married a wife. I have bought me a car. Anybody remember that song? Oh. I just got married. I have to work. The fields need me. I have a new place to take care of. And on and on. In Luke chapter 14, we learn that if we don't have time for Jesus, Jesus is just going to keep going. He's not going to wait for us. He's going to eat without us. Jesus wants us at the table, but he's not going to wait for us. He'll leave us behind if we don't have time for him. If we don't make time to breathe in, to rest and renew in the arms of Jesus, and gradually, slowly, we just begin to suffocate. And when we suffocate spiritually, we don't have the chance to live out the second part of the greatest commandment. We never create the opportunity to love our neighbors as ourselves. Loving our neighbors, breathing out. Martin Luther, the guy that started the whole, what we call the Reformation process, Martin Luther said that, you know, he's just so busy that he has to spend 3 hours every day in prayer. He has to spend real time breathing in, talking to God, listening to God, so he could have a chance to breathe out, to live in a faithful and a productive way. Friends, I come this morning confessing. And I confess because this is hard for me. I wrestle with finding this holy balance. If I'm not careful, if I'm not intentional, I can find myself only wanting to breathe out. Part of my calling from God is I feel like I need to be doing things that increase the likelihood that we're working together, making disciples of Jesus Christ. Because I believe it is through Jesus Christ that lives are reached and that change happens in the world. Yet I also know that if I'm not careful, if I'm not intentional about spending time in prayer and in my Bible, if I'm not intentional about meeting with people to talk about faith, I start to wear down. And little by little, my breath gets shallow and weak. And I start to suffocate. In the short term, I'd rather be moving and going and doing, but I also know if I'm going to be going and moving and doing, I have to spend time breathing in too. If I don't, if I wear down, my fuse starts to get shorter. Any reserve of grace I have begins to empty. And I slip into a perspective of passing judgment. There is no doubt that I am a work in progress. I also have no doubt that I have a God who loves me and who pursues me, even in my brokenness. And so it is, I also know that I'm better able to receive this love and to offer this love when I'm intentional about breathing in this true gift from God for you and me. So how are you this morning? Where are you in this discussion? You know, maybe you feel like your oxygen levels are full and well-maintained, and that's great. Or maybe you feel like you're filled up and overflowing. You have so much to give, but you don't have the opportunities right now. Maybe this is a time to find places to breathe out your love of Jesus. Maybe this is a time to follow those holy promptings, to breathe out wherever God is prompting you to serve. Or maybe you feel like you're running on empty, gasping for air. Maybe you feel like you're barely hanging on. So how's the rhythm of your breathing going? And are there any adjustments that God wants you to make? Let's pause and just take some time to visit with God. Let's take some time to breathe in, seeking wisdom and guidance. Let's breathe in, giving thanks or confessing. Let's visualize what it means to breathe out, reaching out, touching Jesus, and acting in Jesus' name. Let's pause for a moment and just pray silently. Holy God, we breathe in and we breathe out. Fill us with your power. Fill us with your compassion and peace as we worship you here this morning. And as we consider, as we examine who you've created us to be, show us the way. Lead our next steps. Lead us into the future. Touch our heads and our hearts. You are God and we love you. We need you. And we humbly bow before you and we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.